Welcome to the Republican Professor on this Constitution Day, 2025 years after Jesus. It's 17 September 2025, in the year of our Lord, in the words of George Washington, when he signed the Constitution. And today we're just going to read the U.S. Constitution. What a concept. Back to basics. Am I going to tell you what I think about the Constitution? Well, it's not what I think about the Constitution Day. It's Constitution Day, right? And these guys put a lot of thought and work into it. And I wasn't there at the Constitutional Convention, so why should I pretend I was there? I wasn't there. Maybe we should just read what they actually wrote. Hello? Hello? As my mentor, Dr. Michael Uhlman, used to say, hello? Hello? So that's what we're going to do today. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm happy to see you. Because, you know, we had this really tragic event last week of the murder of a pretty significant part of the Republican movement, the constitutional movement. Last week, I just sensed that I should read a psalm. And so I'm just going to go through stuff that was assigned last week at our men's Bible study, Psalm 16. I'll just read that one psalm. And we'll do a reading from Streams in the Desert. And that's something I started before this murder last week and before the Democrat response to the murder. And so we'll do that, and then we'll do the Constitution. And I want you to know that I'm looking forward to an Oliva 3 after that. In celebration of what the work that was done and the good stuff that the Constitution brought about. So let's get to it. Okay, Psalm 16. Yes, that was assigned last week. Okay. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom all is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16. All right. Streams in the Desert is next, and we have a reading from January 6th. This is the sixth day we're doing it. Kalman Publishing, Los Angeles, Las Feliz Station, Los Angeles, 1925. Purchased at Beachtown Books in San Clemente, California, a Republican town. And we're on page 7. Sorry, page 6. When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. Isaiah 43:2. God does not open paths for us in advance of our coming. He does not promise help before help is needed. He does not remove obstacles out of our way before we reach them. Yet, when we are on the edge of our need, God's hand is stretched out. Many people forget this and are forever worrying about difficulties which they foresee in the future. They expect that God is going to make the way plain and open before them, miles and miles ahead, whereas He has promised to do it only one step by step, as they may need. You must get to the waters and into their floods before you can claim the promise. Many people dread death and lament that they have not dying grace. Of course, they will not have dying grace when they are in good health, in the midst of life's duties, with death far in advance. Why should they have it then? Grace for duty is what they need then, living grace, then dying grace when they come to die. JRM, whoever that is. Okay, here's a poem by Annie Johnson Flint. No idea who these people are, but it's in the book and it's got wonderful artwork. The letters. Can you see that? Anyway, it just reminds me of like the Book of Kells. It's not that dramatically great or anything, but when thou passest through the waters, deep the ways. Going to go ahead and just, I'm going to put the camera down for a sec, okay? When thou passest through the waters, deep the waves may be and cold, but Jehovah is our refuge, and his promise is our hold. For the Lord himself hath said it, he, the faithful God and true, when thou comest down to the waters, thou shalt not go down, but through. Seas of sorrow, seas of trial, bitterest anguish, fiercest pain, rolling surges of temptation, sweeping over heart and brain. They shall never overflow us, for we know his word is true. All his waves and all his billows will lead us safely through. Threatening breakers of destruction, doubt's insidious undertow, shall not sink us, shall not drag us out to ocean's depths of woe. For his promise shall sustain us. Praise the Lord, whose word is true. We shall not go down or under, for he saith, thou passest through. That's Streams in the Desert, page 7. That was January 6th. I know it's September 17th, but we're going through the whole year, and I'm just starting at the beginning, okay? The reason I'm doing that is because I don't know when you're going to be listening to this. So why would I do the day of when that might not be when you're listening to it? Let's not be too crazy about this. Let's just read it through like a book, and that's what we're doing. We have a special reading today on Constitution Day, and it's the Constitution. What a concept.
The original Constitution?
The fake one. Yes, of course. Of course. I recommend you read it in a book form, and I would recommend this edition of the Federalist Papers, Signet Classic edition. It's introduction and notes by Charles R. Kessler, who actually was my professor when I took the class on the Federalist Papers at the PhD level. Only the best stuff. He was also a guest on this podcast. Thank you, Charles, for coming on. He's one of the most delightful writers in American politics, in my correct opinion. Let's see here. I would just recommend to you that this is a wonderful book because it's got the Constitution in it. And it's got collated with notes and page numbers of where those discussions go in the Federalist. But I'm going to shine it on the screen so you can see it and follow along. Okay. Sound good? All righty. Let's do that. Well, let's see here. Let's see if we can do this. Okay, I'm sharing this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, spelled defense wrong, promote the general welfare. Democrats love that one. I'll try to keep my commentary and jokes to a minimum, but sorry, I can't help it. And secure the blessings of liberty, yeah, to ourselves and our prosperity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution of the for the United States of America. United States is capitalized. Interesting. I mean, I'm just pointing it out. I'm just pointing it out. Article 1. Article 1. All. Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. United States is capitalized. Just pointing it out. Which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. And the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. The satanic leprechaun laugh is not in the original text, FYI. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. Not going to say anything about the masculine pronoun. Not just reading, okay? I'm just reading. Not going to mention that it's gender neutral. Alrighty. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons. Persons is capitalized. There's random words that are capitalized, including those bound to service for a term of years and excluding Indians, not taxed, three-fifths of all other persons. Oh, persons is capitalized again. Interesting. I think originally it said, like the actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States capitalized again, and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative, and until such enumeration shall be made, the state of New Hampshire shall be entitled to choose, spelled wrong again, three, Massachusetts, eight, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, 1. Connecticut, 5. New York, 6. New Jersey, 4. Pennsylvania, 8. Delaware, 1. Maryland, 6. Virginia, 10. North Carolina, 5. South Carolina, 5. And Georgia, 3. When vacancies happen in the representation from any state, the executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies. The House of Representatives shall choose, spelled wrong again, their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. Section 3. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of 2 senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have 1 vote. Immediately after they shall have assembled in consequence of the first election, they shall be divided as equally as may be into 3 classes. The seats of the senators of the first class shall be vacated at the expiration of the second year, of the second class at the expiration of the fourth year, and of the third class at the expiration of the sixth year, so that 1/3 may be chosen every second year. And if vacancies happen by resignation or otherwise during the recess of the legislature of any state, the executive thereof may make temporary appointments until the next meeting of the legislature, which shall then fill such vacancies. No person shall be a senator who shall not have attained to the age of 30 years. That's after birth, not conception, FYI. And been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. Again, I would recommend this version of the Federalist Papers. I like the paperback, as you can see. Like, mine's about to fall apart, which is why I have a second copy, which is also about to fall apart. Vice President of the United States shall be President of the Senate, but shall have no vote unless they be equally divided. The Senate shall choose their other officers and also a President pro tempore in the absence of the Vice President or when he shall exercise the office of President of the United States. Now, if you're reading this far, you don't even know what the President of the United States is because they haven't gotten to it yet. The Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside. And again, you don't even know who the Chief Justice is yet. In other words, have an attention span, keep reading. And no person shall be convicted without concurrence of 2/3 of the members present. Judgments in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. So you could maybe the issue is enjoying the office. So what if I just wanted to not enjoy it but have it anyway? But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, and punishment according to law. It's indictment. Section 4. The times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Holding my tongue, given the last 5 years. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations, except as to places of choosing senators. The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year, and such meeting shall be on the first Monday in December, unless they shall by law appoint a different day. All right, guys. Section 5. Each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. But a smaller number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner and under such penalties as each house may provide. Each house may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and, with the concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. I think, a lot of you young kids, you're getting ideas right now. I can tell you are like, hey, I didn't know it said that. Yeah. Each house shall keep a journal of its proceedings and, from time to time, publish the same, except such parts as may be in their judgment require secrecy. And the yeas and the nays of the members of each house on any question shall, at the desire of one-fifth of those present, be entered into the journal. Neither house, during the session of Congress, shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that which in which the two houses shall be sitting. Section 6. The senators and representatives shall receive a compensation for their services to be ascertained by law and paid out of the treasury of the United States. Did they just say they set their own pay? Yeah, it did. Okay, a minimal commentary. I will never get through this if I say my commentary, okay? But it's right there. They set their own pay, and who else would do it? Okay. I'm sorry. I gotta be more disciplined than that. They shall, in all cases, except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and returning from the same, and for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. No senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under the authority of the United States, which shall have been created, or emoluments thereof shall have been increased during such time, and no person holding any office under the United States shall be a member of either house during his continuance in office. Section 7. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. But there's only one T, so don't get too excited. But the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. Every bill which shall have passed the House of Representatives and the Senate shall, before it becomes law, be presented to the President of the United States. And again, you're thinking, what's that? Well, keep reading. If he approve, he shall sign it, but if not, he shall return it. No commentary on the masculine pronoun. Maybe it's gender neutral. Who knows? Apparently, Hillary Clinton thought so. Oh, God, here I go again. I'm sorry, I'm commenting. With his objections to that house in which it shall have originated, who shall enter the objections at large on their journal and proceed to reconsider it? If, after such reconsideration, two-thirds of that House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent, together with objections, to the other House, by which it shall likewise be reconsidered, and if approved by two-thirds of that House, it shall become a law. But in all such cases, the votes of both Houses shall be determined by yeas and nays. And the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered in the journal of each house respectively. If any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, Sundays excepted. I'm holding my tongue. See? I'm holding my tongue. After it shall be presented to him, the same shall be a law in like manner. In like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress, by their adjournment, prevents its return in which case it shall not be a law. Every order, resolution, or vote to which the concurrence of the Senate and House of Representatives may be necessary, except on a question of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States. And before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being disapproved by him, shall be repassed by two-thirds of the Senate and the House of Representatives, according to the rules and limitations prescribed in the case of a bill. Section 8. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, and imposts and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and the general welfare. All the Democrats are just like having a huge party right here of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. What website am I on? Well, I like to read from the book, but I can't shine the book up. I'm on archives.gov, Founding Docs, Constitution Transcript. Okay, it's from the National Archives. All right. To borrow money on credit of the United States, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with Indian tribes, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. Immigration is never mentioned, FYI. Naturalization. Okay, sorry. I mean, that's me. I'm trying to control myself. To coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, fix the standards of weights and measures. Ooh. Okay, so money. Money, huh? Interesting. Fed cut rates today, by the way. I think they're afraid. They're afraid of their status. Okay, sorry, I gotta, keep going. To provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. Again, money. In other words, creating criminal penalties. Yeah. The criminal law, that's a part of the police power. To establish post offices and post roads. Those of you who don't like the post office, you're not going to like that one. I happen to like the post office. I know you're probably going to unsubscribe right now, but yeah. Anyway, to promote the progress of science and the useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. What's the Supreme Court? They haven't said yet. To define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nation, not law of nations. Law of nations, what's that? They don't say. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal. Should bring that back. And make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for longer term than 2 years. This is the first one where there's a big but. Did you notice that? To raise and support armies, kind of important. And then there's a big but right after that. But why would that be? Why would they have the but right there? Going back. You see, there's no buts in any of those other ones.
Can you just keep reading?
Yeah, I'll keep reading. Don't worry.
You said you're not going to comment on it. Yeah, I know.
Here we go. Armies to provide and maintain a navy. No but after that one. Interesting. To make rules for the government and regulation of land and naval forces. To provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. Interesting.
It doesn't say interesting.
That's true. That was me. To provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers, and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding 10 square miles, as may be by cession of particular states, and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States. And to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying into execution the foregoing powers, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States, or in any department or officer thereof. Possibly the most important paragraph we've read so far. And I'm not going to say anything else. I'm holding my tongue. Section 9. The migration or importation of such persons is capitalized, interesting, as any of the states now sh existing shall think proper to admit. This is the first mention of migration, immigration. Shall not be prohibited by Congress prior to the year 1808, but a tax or a duty may be imposed on such importation not exceeding $10 for each person with a capital P. Interesting. Why didn't they just use the word slave? I don't know.
Can you get back to the text?
Yeah, sorry. The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in case of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. Public safety. Public safety versus individual rights. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid, unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. No tax or duty shall be laid on articles exported from any state. No preference shall be given by any regulation of commerce or revenue to the ports of one state over those of another, nor shall vessels bound to or from one state be obliged to enter, clear, or pay duties in another. No money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. And a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept of any present an emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Section 10. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation. Interesting. Fascinating. That is really interesting. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation. Grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, take anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debts. Pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts. Contracts are important. I wonder why. Or grant any title of nobility. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any imposts or duties on imports or exports, except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws. And that is a typo. Man, how sad. Hoed up. Section 10. Dadgummit, founding fathers. Dadgummit. Brother. I'm looking. My gosh. Well, there's no typo in the book, okay? The physical book I'm holding in my hand. But do you see that? Do you see that apostrophe? Executing its inspection laws. According to the National Archives, executing it is inspection laws is part of the U.S. Constitution. FYI. You see why I go back to books? Go back to the books.
The books can have typos too.
Yeah, that's true. But in my experience, books, when they're on paper, are taken more seriously. Because once it's there, you can't correct it. So the old school editors, what am I going to say? What, I'm not going to be able to convince you. You computer people. Executing its inspection laws. I don't know how to. Can I show you what I'm looking at? I'm just going to show you. You see it?
Why are you so upset about a typo? There's random words spelled wrong. Random capitalized words. What's
Yeah, but it is. That's so tacky. It's just tacky. It's the archives, for God's sake. Come on. Give me a break. Except what may be absolutely necessary for executing it is inspection laws. The Signet Classic Edition that I'm holding in my hand that can't be edited at 2 a.m. by a smart-ass sophomore says it's with no apostrophe. And the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of Congress. Now, this is another thing I wanted to point out here. Just I do have to say this. The reason it's important to go through this regularly is you want to get a sense of what a daggum thing says. Especially now that we're allowing robots to do more and more. How do you know what the original thing said? Unless you're familiar with it somehow, some way. How do you know that that's the only mistake here? You got to be familiar with this stuff. Imagine if you'd never read this before. And some of you are like,
That's me.
yeah. It's the same with the Bible, too. I have the same concerns. I heard a story about somebody going to sleep. His mother was going to sleep with some app, Bible verses. Half the damn verses weren't the Bible. They were just made up gobbledygook. It's like if you don't know the actual original source, if you're not in, you're not going to be able to see the. Laws. Okay, guys. I'm done preaching, okay? No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state, or, interesting, enter into any agreement or compact with another state, or with a foreign power, or engage in war, unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. If you're seeing Civil War themes, good. That's the beginning of the Republican Party, which took this seriously. Article 2. The Republican Party took two things seriously, guys. It took the Constitution seriously and still does. Doesn't mean we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. It means they take it seriously. The Constitution and the Declaration, both. The Confederacy and the Democrats didn't do that. Just look up the Cornerstone Speech, Alexander Stevens, 1861, for the Democrat response to the Republican Party. They switched out the Declaration. They said, we're getting rid of the Declaration. No good. No bueno. That all men are created equal thing, that's for the birds. We're going to found it on science. That's what the Democrats said. Well, we're a political party founded on science. It's in the Cornerstone Speech. Look it up. 1861. It's the Democrat reaction to the Republican Party. And I just read you the entirety of Article 1, and there's at least two or three references against Confederacy. Not to mention, the word slave is never mentioned. It's person. Person. The Republicans took that seriously, too. Let's continue. We're just getting started, people. Article 2, Section 1.
You sound angry.
I'm not angry. I'm happy.
You are?
Yeah. Section 1. Probably the most important thing in the present context we're going to read. This is the next sentence. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America.
It doesn't say the executive branch.
Yeah, I don't see executive branch anywhere either. It says it's vested in a person.
That means he's in charge of all those bureaucrats.
It sounds like it. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and, together with his vice president, chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives. Yeah, sounds like Rain Man right now. To which the state may be entitled in the Congress. Yeah. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States, yeah, shall be appointed an elector. Yeah, but there's no but. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for two persons, of whom one at least shall not be an inhabitant of the state's same state with themselves. They shall make a list of all the persons voted for and the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify and transmit, sealed to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall be then counted. The person having the greatest number of votes shall be president, if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if there be more than one who have such a majority and have an equal number of votes, then the House of Representatives shall immediately choose by ballot one of them for president. And if no person shall have a majority, then from the five highest on the list, the said House shall, in like manner, choose the president. But in choosing the president, the votes shall be taken by the states, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from two-thirds of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice. In every case, after the choice of the president, the person having the greatest number of votes of the electors shall be vice president. But if there should remain two or more who have equal votes, the Senate shall choose from them by ballot the vice president.
Why'd you read that?
Because it's in the original Constitution. Let me finish. The Congress may determine the time of choosing the electors and the day on which they receive their votes. Which day shall be the same throughout the United States. No person except a natural born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years.
After birth or after conception?
Birth.
Isn't that pro-choice?
Yeah, let me continue. Stop. Just let me continue. And been 14 years a resident within the United States. In case of the removal of the president from office or of his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of the said office, the same shall devolve on the vice president, and the Congress may by law provide for the case of removal, death, resignation, or inability, both of the president and the vice president, declaring what officer shall then act as president, and such officer shall act accordingly until the disability be removed or a president shall be elected. The president shall, at stated times, receive for his services a compensation, which shall neither be increased or nor diminished during the period for which he shall be elect have been elected, and he shall not receive within that period any other emolument from the United States or any of them. Before you enter, let me just check one thing really quick. I'm just spot checking these archive mofos.
Aren't you a Christian? You're not supposed to be saying that.
Well, I didn't tell you what it stands for.
No, that's true.
Okay. All right, just checking. Before he enter into the on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation.
You mean it's spelled out?
Yeah. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Section 2. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into actual service of the United States. He may require in opinion, in writing, the opinion in writing of the principal officer in each of the executive departments upon any subject related to the duties of their respective offices, and he shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. He shall have power by and with the consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur, and he shall nominate and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, judges of the Supreme Court.
I thought it said justices.
Judges of the Supreme Court and all of the other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for and which shall be established by law. but the Congress may by law vest the appointment of such officers as they think proper in the president alone, in the courts of law, or in the heads of the departments.
Wasn't that what Matt, wasn't that 1988 Supreme Court case, the dissent? Yeah, Morrison versus Olson. Wasn't that what that was all about?
Look, I can't get into case law here. Okay, I'm just reading the text. The president shall have power to fill up all vacancies.
But didn't you do a bunch of you did a bunch of episodes on that Supreme Court decision, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Morrison versus Olson. Okay. Are you happy?
Just asking.
Can I get back to it? Sorry. The president shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session. Section 3. He.
And there's that masculine pronoun again.
Yeah.
How come they didn't want to, do an amendment adding she?
Look, I can't answer all these questions right here. Look up Noah Webster 1828. Just look up the word man, okay? Look at the first. It's online. Just look it up.
You mean the first definition?
Yes.
You covered that on the podcast, right?
Yeah, I already have. Yeah, the corresponding pronoun is he. And you'll see that that definition, man, is gender neutral. It says mankind, humans.
But that's like what it said in the Declaration of Independence in the second paragraph. All men are created.
I know.
And the example he uses is from Genesis. It's a Bible example. Male and female, he created them. He created mankind in his own image.
I know. I know. We talked about that. Can I get back to this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're on section 3. We still have quite a bit to go. September 17th doesn't last all week here. Let's get going here. Okay.
I'm just at that.
I know. Thank you. He shall from time to time give to Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. He may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in cases of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them to such time as he shall think proper. He shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed and shall commission all officers of the United States. Section 4. The president, vice president, and all civil officers.
I spelled silver wrong.
It's not silver. It's civil.
Oh. I was going to ask about gold officers.
It's not silver and gold. It's civil officers of the United States shall be removed from president from office on impeachment for conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 3. Wow. The judicial power. Section 1. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both of the supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Section 2.
I have a question.
What?
A good behavior, does that mean, like, okay, if they vote against the Second Amendment, does that mean that, like, we can, like, take them out of that position and like basically take away their paycheck and good behavior? That's not good behavior, man, going against the Second Amendment.
Well, I don't think that's what the founders thought. They would be abhorred by anti-Second Amendment and sentiments. I don't think that that's what they had in mind there. Can I get back to this? Because I'm just supposed to read it.
I'm just asking.
I appreciate your defense of the Second Amendment, I know, but can we talk about that later over a cigar or something? I'm just trying to get through this.
Okay. I noticed it said judges too, instead justices.
I got it.
Because someone said, I said judge, Amy Comey Barrett, they said justice. And I was like, it says it judge in the Constitution.
Okay, all right, I know. Look, I want to affirm you. I know you have a lot of questions. But seriously, guys, people in the audience here, dude, we got to get through this. Okay? We're just focusing on the original text. We got to do that first before we start making commentary on it, you know? Don't want to get the cart before the horse. We don't want to know what we think before we read the original thing that we're supposed to have thoughts about. Okay. Oh, where was I? Jeez. Okay. Section two. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. Oh, equity. Oh, equity. Oh, I love that word, equity. It's an E. Oh, sorry. A Democrat spirit just took over my brain for a second. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority. To all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects. In all cases affecting ambassadors and other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and other such regulations as Congress shall make. The trial of all crimes, except in cases of impeachment, shall be by jury, and such trial shall be held in the state where the said crime shall have been committed. But when not committed within any state, the trial shall be at such place or places as the Congress may by law have directed. Section 3. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. Two witnesses. Interesting.
You're not supposed to comment.
The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. Article 4, Section 1. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state, and the Congress may, by general laws, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. Section 2. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or high crime who shall flee from justice and be found in another state shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime. No person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. Section 3. New states may be admitted by the Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, or any state be formed by the junction of two or more states, or parts of states, without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. The Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. I lost my place. Sorry, I start again. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Oh gosh, lost. Sorry, guys, I lost my place again. Let me. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on the application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Article 5 in Congress, whenever to. I think it was originally pronounced whenever. Whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislature of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes.
Not intensive purposes?
Well, that's not what it says. It says intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate.
I didn't know people were suffering in the Senate.
Okay, well, now you do. People suffer in the Senate, especially when they have to sit next to Democrats. Article 6. All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or any laws of the state to the contrary notwithstanding, the senators.
Wouldn't that mean that the Second Amendment cases that go up in state courts that they go against the Constitution, that they're void?
Okay, we have other episodes about that. Let them.
I'm just asking.
I know. Look, I want to. Can I just finish this? The senators and representatives before mentioned, I affirm you, okay? I'm glad you like the Second Amendment. Okay, good.
I like all of the Constitution.
Well, I don't know about that. You like the slavery parts?
Well, not those, but, you know, the ones that were fixed by the Republicans.
I agree with you. I appreciate you being here. I know I've been hard on you.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Can I finish this? Okay. The senators and representatives before mentioned, and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification in any office or public trust under the United States. Article 7, and we're almost done. The ratification of the conventions of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states so ratifying the same. The word the being underlined between the seventh and the eighth lines of the first page, the word 30 being partly written on an erasure in the 15th line of the first page, the words is tried being interlined between the 32nd and the 33rd lines of the first page, and the word the being interlined between the 43rd and the 44th lines of the second page, attest William Jackson, Secretary. Hold up. Let me look. Looking in the book. Brother. Okay, here's Article 7 in the book. The ratification of this convention of the conventions of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states, so ratifying the same. That's it. Done in the convention by unanimous consent of the states present. The 17th day of the September, the year of our Lord, 1787.
The year of our Lord.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Which Lord? Is it capitalized?
Yeah, it's capitalized, yeah.
What happened 787 years, 1787 years before that? Which Lord is that? Are they referring to Jesus in the Constitution?
Yeah. And of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th, in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names. Go Washington, President and Deputy from Virginia. I think that's George Washington. Then you have New Hampshire, John Langdon, Nicholas Gilman, Massachusetts, Nathaniel Gorham, Rufus King. We got to bring back Rufus as a name. Connecticut, William Samuel Johnson, Roger Sherman, New York, Alexander Hamilton, New Jersey, William Livingston, David Brearley, William Patterson, Jonah Dayton, or is it Hona? Pennsylvania. Ben Franklin, Robert Morris, Thos Fitzsimmons, James Wilson, Thomas Mifflin, George Clymer, Jared Ingersoll, Gouverneur Morris, Delaware, Ho Biden, G.O. Reed, John Dickinson, Jacob Blum, Gunning Bedford Jr., Richard Bassett. Maryland.
Was Ho Biden really in there?
No, I made that up. That was a joke.
Okay.
Maryland. James McHenry. Daniel Carroll. I think Daniel Carroll was one of my, he was my Old Testament professor at Denver Seminary. I didn't know he signed the Constitution. Daniel of Theos, Jennifer. Virginia. John Blair. Jimmy Madison, Jr. Goes by Jim. No, it's James Madison. North Carolina, William Blount, Hugh Robbins, Williamson, Richard Dobbs Spaight. South Carolina, John Rutledge, Charles Pinckney. Chuck, called him Chuck Pick. Charles Cotsworth Pinckney, Pierce Butler. Georgia, William Few, and Abraham Baldwin. William Jackson, Secretary. He attests to it. And I think that was before they started calling the secretaries the administrative assistants, so don't be too offended by that. I know it's antiquated. I think they call them office managers or constitution coordinators now instead of secretary, because secretary is offensive. Well, anyway, plus they thought it was a girl's job, so it was kind of this guy Bill Jackson, apparently they thought he was a girl. So anyway, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present in the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord 1787 and of the independence of the United States of America, the 12th witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names. And there's the names I just read. I'm back on the screen that I'm sharing now. Thank you for joining me on the Republican Professor on this Constitution Day, 2025 years after Jesus. As you can see, I'm just continuing on in the theme of the year of our Lord, not making anything up. It's just there. It's right there. Why do we do this? Why do we read it? I want you to get a sense for how long it takes to read it. Why do I want you to get a sense of that? Well, that's just to say nothing of the fact that you should read the dadgum thing regularly. At least a few times in your life. We have a day dedicated to this. But also get a sense for BS. If people try to BS you, the more familiar you are with this content, as the kids say, content, the better. But also, it's your heritage. It's your heritage. You want to get a sense for how long it takes to think about this stuff. When you're planning your thoughts and in school, when you're writing something, you want to know how long it takes to think about it. And part of that has to do with how long it takes to read it for yourself, to have your own thoughts. I was telling a law student I was having a cigar with recently, second year law student, great guy, no complaints. But this guy, man, I tell you, man, I had to go back to basics with this kid. He was telling me about this paper he's writing on the death penalty. And he's telling me what he thinks. And it was pretty general. And I said, you want to get more specific. And he's going to a good law school. It's not a bad law school. And he has a good undergraduate education on paper. I said, well, one way you could do it is you could get Joe Bessette's book on Catholic defense of the death penalty. You want to do it from a Christian perspective, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, the Catholics have been thinking about this a long time. Why don't you do that? He's a very careful scholar. He won't steer you wrong. He was on my dissertation committee. After four times, he finally wrote down the daggum title. Then I said, you want to do something on federal death penalty, or how are you handling this? What's your thought? He's commissioned in the military and he's going to be a military lawyer. I said, you're going to have real responsibility when you get out. You might want to think about whether you even agree with this. What do you think about it? What do you think about the case law on this thing? Like the big case law, the final resolution in these major cases in the 1970s. What do you think about it? He said he didn't even know about the cases. He didn't know which cases I was talking about. I said the major cases on the death penalty in the 1970s. You know how they reversed course, like with just a few years? Everybody's been talking about this for a long time. He didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, okay, that's okay. You're a law student. This is the time to learn. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just saying this is what I would do. Go to that beautiful law library there in your town. It's a school I used to teach at. I know it's a very beautiful campus. Go to the law library. You can see the ocean from the law library, okay? Focus. Grab the volume from the shelf. There's two different volumes for two different years of the Supreme Court. Get those, find the cases that I'm talking about on the death penalty. and get a legal pad, get a pen, sit down, get your cup of coffee, and start reading. I would skip the syllabus. Don't even get right to what the judges themselves said, not the secretaries, not the clerk, the judge, what the judge is signing. Get right into the opinion, the holding of the court, any concurrences, any dissents, and just work through from start to finish. Do you agree? When you get more advanced, you can start with a dissent and then work backwards. Always work either forward or backwards. It's fine either one you do. Sometimes you want to start with a dissent to get an idea of what you need to look for in the majority. That's fine. But you got to work through the whole thing, is my point. And sometimes you want to work through it and then back. You want to do it more than once. You got to do it at least once. This kid was looking at me like I had just asked him to cook his grandmother in a vat of vegetable oil. I said, back to basics, man. He said, a physical volume. I said, yep. He said, but everything's online, AI. And I said, what's the A stand for? That's what you're going to be if you don't get it together. You're going to be artificial. You got to find out what you think. You're going to lose yourself in all this, and that's the most important thing in the world that you're going to lose, is where are you in all this? What do you think? You got to find that out. And the only way to do it is back to basics. In a physical book, there's no ads. There's no other tabs open. It's you and the judge. It's you and the argument, the thoughts, the footnotes, the case law. Don't get too deep in the case law. Make notes about what you need to go check if they're referencing things that you haven't seen before. And you can do that. Don't get into the law reviews. Do that later if you want. This is the most important thing. You don't want to have a law review tell you what to think. You want to try to get it for yourself. What do you think? Do you agree with the dissent? Do you agree with the concurrence? Do you agree with the holding of the court? If so, why? Maybe you don't know yet, and that's okay. He was looking at me, and I had to go through this like four or five times, and I held my ground each time. And I said, look, you're a Marine, right? You're commissioned. He's a commissioned. He went through Quantico. What is it? 12 weeks, a Marine boot camp. I said, did you do pull-ups in boot camp? He said, yeah. I said, you're damn right you did pull-ups in boot camp. That's basic stuff. This is pull-ups. And instead of just doing them, you're sitting there trying to reason through it and complaining. Just do it. He finally said, okay. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. Guys, that's just an example of back to basics. That was at a Charlie Kirk vigil just recently at a cigar event with mainly young kids. I mean, when I say kids, I mean 20s and younger. I was sitting between a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, but there were mostly people in their 20s. And by the way, all laws were followed. The kids did not have any alcohol under 18 or under 21, no alcohol and for them, and no tobacco products for anybody 18 under 18. All rules were followed on that. And it was just a time to remember Charlie and have a reaction to the Democrat reaction, which is another thing we have to process, and that's going to take some time. It's going to take a lot of work. But the work we have to do is important. It's worth doing right. And it's the fact that it hasn't been done yet usually means it's work that no one wants to do, which means it's basic. Back to basics on the Republican Professor podcast. I've been your host, Dr. Lucas J. Mather. I also have an associate's degree. Take care. 17 September, 2025, years after Jesus, it's a Wednesday. See ya.